going to talk about the words that have been spoken already, yesterday and today, the words of God. Seems kind of strange, doesn't it? But it's not. Why? Because these are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'm just going to quote some of the scriptures that he had said. Our Lord Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. As my Father had taught me, I speak these things. Why don't you believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. The Father that sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The words ye hear are not mine, but the Father that sent me. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. These are the words of the Word of God." I'm sure that many of you brethren love the words of God, as has been expressed yesterday and this morning over this platform. And they're wonderful words of God. And I'm sure that you have cherished these words of God. As we look back in our studies of the Bible, we see the Logos, who was the Word of God. He is to us the name of our Lord Jesus. Before his birth as a babe in Bethlehem. And so we find in John 1, verses 1 to 5, it reads this way. "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Logos. "And the Logos was with the Almighty." Hotheos, the Almighty God. "And the Word, the Logos, was a mighty one." He was Theos. "The same was in the beginning with the Almighty. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. As the Word of God, he was present when the foundations of the earth were laid." And so we find in Psalm 33:6, we read, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." We're going to have a subject given to us as we look at the scripture back here. When you look at that, it shows us the greatness of our Heavenly Father. And we'll be discussing this later on in the panel. How great is our Heavenly Father? We'll let you think about it. "The Word was made flesh," we were told, the Logos, "dwelt among us." Yes, Jesus was born. If this event had never taken place, there never would have been salvation through the blood of Christ. Think about it. My thought for a long time was that the word Logos in the Bible always applied to Jesus. It does apply to some others as well, but we're not going to discuss that now. But today we're interested in studying the words of the Word of God. In our scripture reading, Jesus told us that the words which he spoke not of himself. Time and again he repeated this lesson. "The words which you hear are not mine, but the Father which sent me." When he began his ministry, as he was tempted of the devil, his first words were, "It is written. It is written." And in his final prayer, you'll notice that in the 17th chapter of John, speaking of his church, he said to his Father, "I have given unto them the words which thou hast gavest me, so now it is in this spirit that we, brethren, humbly approach the words of our Master, knowing that the words which he spoke were the words to us, his father's words to us. We know our father. How do we know our father? Through his word, as he has spoken to us through his son. I'm sure you're confident, as I am, that all were interested in these words of the Father given to us by his son. And so you and I want to study them, as has been brought over the platform today. We want you to understand them as they apply to us. They don't apply to the rest of the world. And we want to enjoy them. We want to benefit from these lessons which they teach. But first, here's a familiar text that I'm glad is in the Bible. And I've heard this discussed some time before. And this is found in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15. Many of you remember it by heart. And it says this. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that important? Yes, it is. So this sets forth our responsibility to the Master's words, and it tells the words of the Bible, the word of God, to us. But you know something? It's been brought to our attention many times before. We have over 4,000 different teachings in the world. 4,000 different religions. And everyone reads the Word of God, don't they? But got a difficulty in understanding to rightly divide the Word of truth. You can ask the question, why? And I think you know why, don't you? And so our exhortation to rightly divide the Word, in other words, if we do not study, if we do not analyze correctly the message of the Word, we will miss that which we seek. And you know what that is? The truth is what we miss. But more importantly, such a course would lead us sometimes to shame, as the Scripture tells us, writing to Timothy. And so we, as one of God's workmen, we need not to be ashamed, brethren. Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel. It's been said over the platform here. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. How important it was. And so, brethren, you and I do not want to permit tradition or self-interest or any other things to stand in the path of our viewing the Word of God without distortion. You and I, as certainly as truth people, brethren, as we rightly divide his words and the times and season in which we live, we grow in our enjoyment and appreciation of his word. My prayer is that the same Holy Spirit, brethren, that gave the Master words to speak may also abide in our hearts, brethren, this day and every day, and cause each one of us to say, as recorded in Psalms 119 and verse 162. Psalms 119, verse 162. I rejoice in the word as one that findeth great wealth. And also explain with Jeremiah, verse chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Brethren, I trust that the few verses which we have thus touched here, not only will you to guide us, but for our study of this most entrenching subject. One of these that Jesus made shortly after his baptism is found in Matthew 4:4. I'd like to read it to you. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In this verse, brethren, we are told what constitutes our spiritual food. Our spiritual food, and they are the words of God. guess in the nature, in natural things, and we've had this experience today at lunchtime, we're also in the spiritual appetite for food. And when you and I were eating this lunch today, did you have an appetite for the food? You did, didn't you? And you know why you had an appetite for food? Because your body is healthy. That's fine. If you didn't have an appetite for food, your body might not be healthy. And so it is with spiritual healthiness. If we spiritually hunger and thirst for spiritual understanding, that's a good sign. You have an appetite for spiritual food. And so what does that mean? We want to feed upon it. We want to digest it, don't we? We want to assimilate the words of God. May we never, never lose our appetite for the spiritual understanding of the Word of God. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But, you know, as always, to understand His Word, we do need help, don't we? You remember the question that Philip addressed to the eunuch? It is still a good question. He said to him, "Do you understand thou what thou readest?" We know the answer. The answer is still a good answer. He says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And so the Lord has given you and me helps, Bible helps. He's given us studies in the Scriptures. He's given us various publications that are necessary to help us use our guides as help. That's what it's for. I remember reading in the Brother Russell's Watchtower when he talked about how to study the volumes, and I was interested in that. It was very good. And he made a comment there. He says, use your volumes as your study helps. Do not use them as a substitute for the Bible. Always use your Bible as your last remark. And that was interesting, and I always remember that. We know that the nominal churches today have been overreached in this manner. Each one has his own creeds, their own way of understanding things. Even our closest friends, too, have other ways of understanding certain things. And so, brethren, we want to again turn back to the words of Jesus, which he says were the words of his Father. And this is in Matthew the 15th chapter and verses 1 to 9. And this is so true. It can happen to us sometimes too. We have to be careful. Jesus said this, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. The word of God has been made of none effect by the traditions of men." And that happened over the period of many years after the apostles fell asleep. And so, brethren, we enjoy our helps, don't we? We enjoy the helps that have been given to us. We thank for the writings of Brother Russell, as he taught us that we must rely on our only authority, which is the Word of God. And so, brethren, you and I want to rejoice because we have been drawn away from the creeds of men, the traditions, and we've been brought to this very fountainhead of truth. By these helping hands that we have for you and me, and here we will remain, we will prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then in the Gospel of John 7, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said these words, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Here is a principle. is a principle of immense importance to you and to me, brethren, and these texts proves that those who do His will by consecration, by dedication of their life to follow the footsteps of Jesus, will have opened to them the grand inlet of light so that we can see the doctrines of the teaching of His Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 28, 29, and 30, then Jesus said these words, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please Him." And He spoke these words, many believed on Him. Here we find the Master was speaking to those who would lift Him up and put Him on the cross to die. He knew that. Why? He found that as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew the manner of death, and He knew who would be used to bring it about. He knew all that. The Father told Him so. And then He makes a statement that gives us great strength to you and to me. He said to those who saw no beauty in Him that He might desire Him. He said to those who gnashed their teeth at Him, to those who would lift Him up to die. The Lord says, "I am not alone. I am not alone. I have a support. I am here to do my Father's will. Yes. I am doing the things that He told me to do. And thus, I am pleasing to God. You may frown on me, yes, but my Father smiles upon me. And because of this, our Lord says, I am strong." And as He spoke, many believed on Him. And I'm sure that as He spoke these words, full of consecration, that His face was even more beautiful than it was of Stephen when He was said of Him. They saw Stephen, they saw His face as it's been the face of an angel. Brethren, may we learn this simple, simple truth that as we are doing God's will, at those times when it is requires courage to do that, His will, even the same may gnash their teeth and some may frown like Him. They might not like what we're doing. We're not alone, brethren, and we have His smile, we have His rod, we have His staff that brings us comfort, brethren. And Jesus said in chapter 8 of St. John, verses 45 to 47, Jesus said, "But because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinced me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them, not because you are not of God." In other words, in order to fully appreciate, brethren, this text, we want to read the verses immediately preceding, which is verses 43 and 44. "Why don't you understand my speech?" He says. "Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." Here our Lord Jesus, the Master, tells his detractors that had he been less truthful, they would have accepted him. In other words, if you follow the crowd, everything is fine. Had he dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's of tradition, he would have been more acceptable than anyone else. But he would not do that. No. He chose rather to tell them the truth. I remember one time, a brother told me some time ago, you never have to tell a Catholic or anybody else that there is no hellfire, there's no immortal soul. You don't have to tell them anything about Trinity. All you do is speak the truth. The truth itself will bring out the error. The truth itself will bring out the error. And so our Lord knew that they would not believe him. They also knew that those who were seeking would accept his words, and for his words had come from God. Yes, we know. There's a lot of wonderful people out in the world there that go to the various nominal churches. But the nominal house has accepted Satan's lie. We know that. We do not, do we? No. We have heard the words of truth. We have proven them, brethren. We hold fast to them. In simple words, this is the difference between the nominal church and the truth people. We often studied this back in our class many years ago. There's a big difference, brethren, in knowing something about God and really knowing God. Did you think about it? There's a big difference. A lot of people know something about God, but do they really know him? A lot of people know something about our Lord Jesus. Do they really know him, who he is? So, brethren, as long as we keep telling the truth, even though he knew they would not believe him, our Lord said that, but he also knew that those who were seeking would accept his words. Because the words have come from God, brethren. In John, the 12th chapter, St. John, the 12th chapter, verses 49 and 50, it says this, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Brethren, these words are a summary of Jesus' desire to emphasize that his words came from the Father. And that by keeping his words, it would lead to everlasting life. It makes one think of the statement, error does not sanctify, brethren. Only the truth does that. And the Master had said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And surely it is the desire of all of us here today, whether from this platform or whether in our daily life, to speak the words of God. And thus we will walk in the way of life everlastingly. And so by the virtue of Adam's disobedience to God's command, we were born under condemnation to death. And so by the virtue of our Lord's obedience to God's commandment, you and I are now walking in a way of life everlasting. As has been mentioned here, what a gift that is. A wonderful gift. In John the 14th chapter, the Gospel of John, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said these words, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me, not keepeth, not my sayings. The words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And so we find that the bottom word is love. Love is the root, and obedience is the fruit. If we love his word, yes, we'll be obedient to his precepts. Love is obedience. It flows from the principle of gratitude. And the result of love and obedience, brethren, is I will manifest myself to him. And my Father will love him. And now, listen to these words. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. It doesn't say I will, but we will. We will, the Father and I will. Not a short-running visit as a guest. He will make a permanent abode in your heart. The words which ye hear are not mine, as he said, but his that sent me, said Jesus. And so he did repeat this expression so often, very often. And that is that we may properly value his words. The truth established by the words that say it is written. You've heard this. And we find something that is very encouraging to us. We use this a lot at memorial time. In John the 17th chapter of Jesus' last prayer, and verses 6 to 9. And the Master said, while in prayer, and speaking of his disciples, then said, Thou gavest them to me. In other words, as a sheep to a shepherd, as children to a tutor, Thou gavest them to me, that we may be instructed in teaching of God's word. And they have kept thy word, our Lord says. Is this true of you and me? Is it true? Do we obey what the Holy Spirit teaches as we exhort to do, as recorded to us in 1 Corinthians 2:13? Others can preach the word of God to us, but only the Holy Spirit can open our minds, brethren, and reveal the truth to our hearts. No other way. We want to thank God that our hearing has been able to be opened by the Holy Spirit. He gave us the ground to receive the seed. As the earth drinks in the rain, as pants the heart for the water brook, so you and I have accepted the truth, brethren, as found in the Word of God, as the pure message of truth. Yes, and these words of God are given us by our Lord Jesus, and has enriched our lives, has brought us the gospel of peace. You ever study about the gospel of peace? There's a lot of scriptures along that line. And we do have peace through the gospel which has been given to us. And it comes through us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that these words of God are given us by our Lord Jesus as continue to enrich our lives each day of our life that we're living. And so these riches, brethren, can be retained only as they've been brought over this platform, if we study carefully, enthusiastically, to rightly divide the word of truth. We're not going to preach the flood is coming, are we? No, that's past. And you know about it, don't you? Because you studied it. John 16, 13 says this. As some of you are familiar with these scriptures. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Yes. Our Father never, never forces truth upon anyone. But he gives it to those who hunger and seek for it. And so, brethren, let his truth, let his words enrich our lives. And brethren, let us make us wise unto salvation. And they are words of life. They are words of life. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Yes. Understanding is more precious, brethren, than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with this wonderful truth that we have. Proverbs 3:15. Also Proverbs 3:5 and 6. It is the Spirit that will give us victory, brethren, that I may know him, not in name or theory. This brings no power to stand amid the strife. I will know him, the very strength and center of my life. Brethren, how important these words of life are to us. How important the words that Jesus spoke concerning our Heavenly Father. It brings us encouragement. And so, brethren, in closing, I'd like to mention something to you of the brethren in Australia. The brethren in Australia love the Lord very much. They love the truth. They're very dedicated. They're devoted. And they think about you, brethren in America, a lot. And they thank you, brethren, for your support, for helping them, sending them literature and encouragement. And they're very grateful to you. They have a great love for one another. There are brethren there that are from different groups there, but they all meet at the same convention. They all fellowship together. They all serve on the same platform. And that is very encouraging. They do not have animosity one another. They love each other. And that's a great example to us to know how the brethren live in other parts of the world. And they're very compassionate, they're very loving, and they're very caring. And so, as I think about these brethren, that we too can do the same here in America. Yes, we can be loving, we can be compassionate, to have this example from our dear brethren from down yonder. And so, brethren, when we leave this convention, may you continue, you and I continue, to remember the words of our Heavenly Father, to do His will. And brethren, we're going to have our ups and downs, yes. We have physical problems, many of us. But don't forget that at the very end, it yielded a beautiful fruit of righteousness. And Apostle Paul tells us that. Yes, it may be difficult. It may be hard. But at the end, you'll become more than conquerors. And so, brethren, my prayer on your behalf is that some way, somehow, that you and I can be at that marriage supper. May the Lord add his blessings.